What's up, y'all? It's your boy Mondo, aka Chunklet the Mongoo, and this is episode 6 of We Talking About Games. I'm so happy to be making this episode, finally! I feel like there's been one reason or another that I've been taking forever to make this Backlogs Chronicle episode. But we're here, and I'm excited to make it, because I want to get this on record, you know? So as I complete the year, see where I started, see where I was, hate that we're doing this more than halfway through March, but you know what? Whatever. So today's episode is going to be short and sweet. By short and sweet, I'm definitely aiming for less than an hour. Like, please, Lord, let me talk for less than an hour. And let's see where that goes. Let's see if I have any updates before we get into it. We don't have any updates. Oh my God, this is going to be lovely. We're going to get right into this bitch. Again, this is Backlog Chronicles Part 1. We're going to do multiple parts throughout the year where we check back in on my progress through my backlog of games and see if any games disrupted the path that I'm currently on in trying to complete some of the greatest games of all time, which I have in my backlog. We're going to talk about 10 games that I have on my backlog list and a few honorable mentions and just kind of how I feel about each of them, where I'm at. And I also had some people comment on a video I put up earlier today asking people their thoughts, what games are their, you know, biggest hurdles that they're trying to get over in their backlog, and a few of them align with mine, so I found that to be interesting, and I'm looking forward to talking about it. So let's just dive right into it. I don't want to get too much into what I'm playing, because everything I'm playing is actually on this list. So I'm currently playing Xenoblade Chronicles. I beat that. I'm going to get into that. Currently playing Pokemon Soul Silver, Cyberpunk Phantom Liberty DLC, and Ghost of Yote. And we're going to get into, again, each of those in the podcast because they're part of the backlog list. Any updates for We Talking About Games? I got no updates. Subscribe to the YouTube. Subscribe to social media. I've been putting up videos on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube. And so if you follow me on any of those platforms, you've been seeing my simmering takes. Not too hot. They're simmering. They're in the light boil. Some of my hot takes on what's currently happening in the industry and how I feel about any one of those things. The latest video I made was about how I thought this PlayStation 5 generation is the worst PlayStation generation. Like, objectively so. And if you feel that way or don't feel that way, let me know in the comments. But also, let me know what your backlog is looking like. If you didn't get a chance to comment on any of those videos, let me know what your backlog looks like. Let me know what's that game that you're having trouble getting over the hump with, and how long your backlog actually is. And I think, before we even segue, I want to shout out the listeners again. Y'all just keep surprising me. I put up a video on social media the other day, and I think when I put that video up, I had like a little over 200 listens, and that was like 2 weeks ago. The podcast, when this episode goes up and y'all listen to this podcast, we will be over 300 listens across podcast services. And I just was not expecting that. I really, really wasn't. And this is awesome. I know I said this in the last episode, but like, y'all, I was talking to, I keep mentioning Trav in the episodes, but I was talking to Trav and I was like, yo, bro, I haven't recorded an episode in like 3 weeks and we have 100 plus listens in that fucking month. Like, how? What is going on? Y'all really fucking with the kid. And I really, really appreciate that. So, I'll leave it there. I just want to say I appreciate y'all immensely for that. Don't really understand how that's happening. It might be the social media videos. That's my marketing's best guess, so to speak. It must be. The other day, I got 15 listens. How? I didn't record anything. Interesting. Let's get right into it. Again, less than an hour. We're getting this episode in less than an hour. The real goal is less than 45 minutes. Fuck, we're already 5 minutes in. We got 40 minutes. So Backlog Chronicles Part 1. So I came into this year, I was really disappointed with how much of a dent I did not make in my backlog last year. Barely chipped away at any games that I had. And my backlog is currently 100 games long. There's a lot of games in my backlog. And as I mentioned already, some of the greatest games of all time are in my backlog. most of which I'm trying to get to most expeditiously because I'm trying to get those off my list. So I want to focus on the top 10 games I have on this list coming into 2026 with the goal of completing, and a few honorable mentions at the end that I think are just worth bringing up. I think this is such a big deal for me, and I wonder how many other people can empathize with this, whether they have a similar thing going on or not. I am like an ADHD gamer. I cannot sit down and play a single video game from start to finish and just like get through it. For me to do that, you had to have made one of the best games ever. Like a game that can keep my attention, and not just keep my attention, but keep my interest alive for 20, 30, 40 hours without me putting it down to go and play another game. That is just such a difficult thing for me to do. And there are so few games that I have done that with. I think the most recent game I was able to do that with was Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. And even that game, when I got to the 30, 40 hour mark, I was trudging through. I was struggling to finish that game. But I really wanted to finish it because I didn't want to leave it hanging. It's my favorite franchise of all time. I really want to beat that game. And I wanted to like make a review about it. And so I was like, nah, we got to push through. But I started to get that feeling of like, I'm kind of tired of playing this right now. And it's not because any game is good or bad. It's just me. Like after about 7-8 hours of any game, I'm like, all right, kind of time to put this down. So I go play something else again. I really need that change of pace consistently. And so, as you can imagine, when I put a game down, it oftentimes takes me forever to pick it back up. And a lot of games on my backlog are just that. They're games that I picked up and I was like, all right, cool, let me play it. Let me see how it is. And I put in maybe 1 or 2 hours just because I wanted to try it out. And I was like, all right, cool, this is pretty fun. Enjoyed this. Into the backlog you go. I will get to you when I get to you. Or it's a game that I was really looking forward to. Maybe I got that game day one, and it's a great game, but it isn't the best game in the world. And so there goes my attention. 8 hours in, 10 hours in, I'm like, all right, I've had my fill of this, and I think it's time to go get another game. Or pull something out of the backlog, or just move on. The worst thing that happens, and I'm sure a lot of people can empathize with this, regardless of the kind of gamer you are, is you'll be playing a game, you're getting through it, and then a game you were really looking forward to comes out, and you're still not done with this original first game. And so I've done that so many times. I thought I was going to do it this week with Crimson Desert, or last week with Crimson Desert, but I'm looking like I'm going to hold off on that. I thought I was going to have to put down a game to pick that game up and another game going right back into the backlog. But luckily that did not happen. And I was able to finish Xenoblade Chronicles. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. And so, yeah, so for a multitude of reasons, I've just found myself with a really, really long backlog. Not to sound like snobby about this, I actually don't think I have a single bad game in my backlog. I think I have 100 plus really good games in my backlog, which makes it even worse. Because I sometimes sit down, I have an app on my phone, it's called GG. People also use this app called, or this website called Backlogged. I've seen more people use that than this GG app, and I've considered swapping over to that. Because it seems like they have some better features around community and things of that nature that I really like. But I track all my games in this app, and sometimes I'm not in the mood for anything particular, and I'm looking for what I'm going to play. Similar to somebody who's opening up Netflix and looking for what they're going to watch next, I get that choice paralysis, and I'm like, yo, I don't even know what to play. Like, I have so many games to choose from, not really itching or vibing to play anything in particular. And yeah, man, it just becomes impossible to get through these games. But anyways, let's get to these top 10 games. I think it's also worth mentioning what has really helped with me getting through my backlog, and not sure how many other people empathize with this or relate to this, rather, is I love, love, love portable gaming. Like, I need portable gaming in my life. Without portable gaming, and I mean that by the means of, like, my Switch 2, my Steam Deck, my Backbone controller for my cell phone. Without those things, there are so many games that I just would not be able to finish. I live in New York City, and so I take the train to work. And I want to say I spend about anywhere between 30 to 45 minutes on the train going to work. Depends if I take the local train, depends if there's traffic. And I have, like, structured how I get on the train. Like, if I know it's rush hour and I'm not going to get a seat, I make sure I'm on the train last so that the doors that aren't going to open very often are behind me, and I'm standing against the doors and I'm playing on my Steam Deck, or I'm playing on my Switch, or I'm playing Pokemon Soul Silver on my phone right now. And without that, I think this backlog would be significantly longer. I mean, just Xenoblade Chronicles alone, if you think about it like this, because I also sometimes play video games on my break at work. A half an hour to work, a half an hour on my break at work, and a half an hour back home. That's an hour and a half of gaming that I otherwise would not have gotten. And I would have had to put in my spare time at home or whatever. Multiply that across 4 days that I go to work, 4 days a week. You're talking about 6 hours of gaming a week that I otherwise would not get. In a month, that is 24 hours. That is an entire video game. In a month, with my commute time, and if I'm willing to use my break time, because I'm not doing anything better. I eat really quick, and I'd rather get some gaming in while I'm at work. That's 24 hours a month, on average, give or take, right? Maybe that's high end. So we're talking, let's say, anywhere between 15 to 20 hours a week, a month, that I could get in gaming that I otherwise wouldn't get. And over the course of a year, that is the difference between me finishing or not finishing another 4, maybe 5 games, depending on how long these games are. And so if you got a long backlog, not sure if you're into playing on your commute, not sure if you can commute and play, maybe you drive to work. But I think finding those smaller pockets of time where you can get gaming in, if it matters to you that much, is so, so important. And so I wanted to emphasize that, because I think the three games I'm about to name, I think the first three games I'm about to name, I've mostly played those on my commute. And I think if it wasn't for that, I'd probably still be on, like, the second one, and it still wouldn't be done. So let's get to my top 10 games in my backlog. If you're watching this, or even listening to this on podcast services, I'm going to timestamp each of the games. So if you want to skip through some of them, feel free. I'm going to name them off the top just so that you know, and then we're going to go in order. So I got Metro Prime 4, which is now completed. Remember, I came into the year with this list. So Metro Prime 4 was the first game I completed this year. Dune 26 was second game, and I also completed that. That was my second game finished. Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition. Just beat it a few days ago. Actually, I think officially a week ago as of today. Wow, what a game. We're going to get into it. Baldur's Gate 3. I'm looking at you, Jess and Gabe. I think I'm going to get this. We're going to get to it, but I don't think I'm going to beat this game this year. KOTOR, Knights of the Old Republic. Final Fantasy VI. Metal Gear Solid 2. Ghost of Yotei. Fire Emblem Three Houses, Split Fiction. Those are my top 10 games on my backlog. And some honorable mentions, which we won't get into too much, is Hogwarts Legacy, Skyrim, Death Stranding, Pokemon Scarlet Indigo Disc DLC, and Kingdom Hearts Rechain of Memory. Did I skip Cyberpunk on my list? Cyberpunk DLC is not on the list. That is weird. It should be. Anyways, whatever. So cool. Metro Prime 4. I'm not going to get too into it. We have a review episode that I did with Cognitive Clips, aka Jordan, from Drop In, Drop Out Pod. And I implore you to go listen to that episode if you want to hear my thoughts on Metro Prime 4. But really, really, really had a good time with this game. I think I gave it an 8 out of 10. Had a blast. Really, really good. you know, I'm a big Metroid Prime 2D fan, like Metroid Prime the original, Metroid Fusion on the Game Boy Advance. Love those games. Love me a Metroidvania. And so it was interesting to play a game like this in 3D. I have like a very, very small bit of experience with Metroid Prime 3 on the Wii. And so not anything that I necessarily remember. And it felt really, really good. And other than thoughts that, again, you can find in that episode, it was refreshing to see a game that looked this good on the Switch. Because this game is beautiful. Like, absolutely stunning. Go get that. So that was the first game beaten of the year. So happy about that. I was so, so happy about that. And yes, I did cheat. I completed more than half of it in 2025. But the game came out in December, and I beat it in 2026. So it's this year's game. Game number two was Doom 2016. We completed that. Again, I played Doom 2016 almost exclusively on my commutes to work. So literally, if it wasn't for my commutes to work, I would not have beaten this game. And again, as I have in my notes, to be fair, I only had two chapters left to beat this game and finish it. Another game that kind of just carried over into 2026. But again, we're counting it as this year's game because we beat it this year. I'm not necessarily a big Doom guy myself. I didn't grow up with that game in my household, like the original. And I didn't play any of the games when like these originally came out. Obviously, Doom 2016, when it came out 10 years ago. But I've seen it on sale so many times, and I remember when I first got my Steam Deck, it was like one of those games that are like runs great on the deck, like deck ready, and all the reviews was like, yo, this game runs flawless on a Steam Deck, 60 frames locked, and people were not lying. This is one of the best games I've played on my Steam Deck, not only just because it is a great game, but you know, there's a certain level of performance you expect from these PC handhelds, and this blew that performance expectation out of the water, not even close. This is a masterclass of a game in first-person shooting. This was some of the best shooting I have ever experienced in my life. And considering I played this on a Steam Deck, that says a lot. I did get to play maybe an hour or two on my computer. And that hour or two was really, really good. I mean, to play it at like 100 plus frames per second, I have an ultra wide. So I played like one of those last chapters on ultra wide. Really immersive. The guns are punchy. When you hit an enemy, you feel it. Like you're like, oh, okay. Like this shotgun hits. This rocket launcher, this assault rifle, everything, every bullet has some level of impact that is satisfying. It really, really is satisfying. And you can tell that these guys have been making first-person shooters since the 80s, which I think the original Doom came out in the 80s, if I'm not mistaken. But you can tell these guys have been making first-person shooters for 30-plus years. These guys being Bethesda, if I'm not mistaken. And there was a healthy variety of enemies. I think the enemy variety was good. It got pretty challenging at some times. But then I think once we got into the later chapters, it was a lot of the same. I think what was really good about the last chapters was the level design. Like that was another thing that kind of stuck out to me about these Doom games is like, oh, this level design, they've got the formula figured out as it relates to this game, where no corner is really a dead end. Like, this game is really made for you to just loop around and loop around and loop around and loop around and loop around. And sorry, I lost track of my thoughts. And that was so refreshing. Because it just kept moving. And for a game that is just you shooting all these monsters and going from area to area within the levels, it felt good to not feel like, oh, okay, here's this wall, can't really do anything, gotta figure it out. And it, for the levels that were giving me trouble, especially when I ran into like a new enemy type, or it was just a difficult round in that map, it made me have to think about how to go through the map. It made me have to think to myself, like, oh, okay, like, maybe I should utilize this corner a little bit more because I can hide behind this, I can, like, that enemy type can't really get me from here. And that was just awesome. It really, really was. And it goes to show how much detail goes into making this game across all the levels and all the enemy types and so on. And so, yeah, like I said, performance was great. And I don't have a note here for it, but the music. Oh, that music was so good. I am not a rock person. Like, I'm not a rock kid, or like, I didn't grow up listening to a lot of rock, especially like heavier rock or like metal. But man, the soundtrack for this game was really something. When you get to an area and like the enemies are propping up and that music kicks on, you know, it's like, oh, okay, we getting in. Oh, we're ready to get in. There was a recent trailer for that chicken game, that God of War chicken looking game. That soundtrack reminded me so much of Doom. So much of Doom. And so if you're into that, I highly recommend. Again, I gave this an 8 out of 10. And I'm looking forward to playing Doom Eternal, which is in my backlog. Not playing that this year, though. Clearly, it's not on the list. Game number 3. Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition. Holy shit. This was a great game. You know, for a while now, I've seen this game come across the timeline in multiple ways, and people boasting about it. I remember when the characters came to Smash Brothers, like Shulk, and I think it's two characters from Xenoblade Chronicles 2. People were so hype about it, and this is just a game I've never heard anybody say anything bad about, and you're not about to hear me say anything bad about it right now. This game is gorgeous. If I'm not mistaken, this is originally a Wii U game, has been ported to the Switch, which is great. But I was walking around this game and I'm just stunned. I am in awe of the fact that this thing runs on an original Switch at 30 frames locked, because the world is just humongous. The draw distance is there, and it matters too, because of how massive this world is, since the world is basically two giant beings that are frozen in time, and the map is you traversing that being. There's so many moments where I was just, because you can auto walk in the game, which is great functionality. What a great feature. You can just auto walk in the game, and I was just panning the camera around, enjoying the views. There was a moment where like the sky turned to night, and I was just like, what the fuck? Like, this, it's just beautiful. And it's games like these that make me feel more and more that we don't need this chase for high fidelity graphics. This is one of the most beautiful games I've ever played, and it came out on the Wii U, and it's been ported to the Switch. It's like nothing to gloat about or boast about. It's more art style than anything else. But that art style is just wonderful. It really, really is. The music was great. Very, very JRPG vibes is what the music gives me. But such good music. Areas had beautiful, beautiful music. Every time the feel good music for just like the story in general, like that, oh, good vibes are coming. Every time that music came on, I was like, oh man, here we go. And I don't want to get too into it. I'm not going to get into it at all, because you guys deserve to play this story. The story started off really good, and as it progressed, every story beat just added another layer. Then you get halfway through it, and they just start dropping bombs on you. They just start dropping narrative bombs on you, bomb after bomb after bomb. And just when you think you know what's going on, you have no idea. Here's another bomb. Nope, you don't know what's going on. Here's another one. And it got to a point where the pacing of the game alongside the story, like the gameplay with story beats, the pacing was so good. I just found myself consistently playing this game. And again, like I said earlier, it's so hard for me to just play a game straight through without putting it down and going back to something else. But I found myself 25 hours into Xenoblade Chronicles without a care in the world of looking at another game. And so I think that says more than enough about how good the pacing is in this game. I hate bad pacing. But it says a lot about how good the pacing is in this game and how early on in the game, there's not so much grinding you need to do to continue getting through the story. And so I really, really enjoyed that. Story beats just kept coming and coming. It does get to a point, and I will say this, in an effort to get through the game and not put it down, I put the game on casual mode, like a little more than halfway through, because I kind of just wanted to get through it. I didn't want to have to grind. And I got to a point where it was like, oh, okay, I'm starting to have to grind between story beats and between like finishing main missions and main quest lines. And I didn't really want to do that. And so I was like, you know what, let's just put the game on casual and let's breeze through this mother effer. And even on casual, I still had to grind a little bit. Like, and it wasn't so bad. I didn't really feel it until like the last two chapters, where one of the bosses on the second last chapter I could not beat and I had to go level up a little bit on casual mode. And then the final boss, I could not beat him. I had to like restart my save and go back and like level up three times to beat him on casual mode. And so I think something to keep in mind about this game is that, you know, a lot of people praise the side quests in this game. And I did a lot of them in the first half. But then I realized, all right, if I do this, I'm going to spend 100 hours on this game. And if there is a Xenoblade game I want to put 100 hours in, I think it's going to be two, based on what a lot of people have said about which of the trilogy is the best. And so I was like, all right, cool. I'm not going to do too much side missions. If you're doing the side missions, you're not going to feel this need to grind, especially because a lot of those quest lines are going to give you experience. But if you're not going to do that, even on casual, you are going to have to grind. You are not just going to be able to casually beat everything in the game. It just doesn't seem like the game is built that way. Because once I put the game on casual and I mainlined it, I was at some point significantly lower level than the enemies I was fighting. But it didn't matter because I basically put the game on easy. But you eventually do get to a point where even the game being on easy, it's like, yo, dog. Yo, big dog, go train, please and thank you. And so that's just something to keep in mind. I gave this game a 9 out of 10. This game was so good, man. Shout out to Shulk. And that ending was so good. That ending was so good. That's all I got to say. The ending was so good and just not what I was expecting. Left a smile on my face. And if I'm not mistaken, the trilogy is connected. And so like 2 and 3 come after Xenoblade Chronicles 1. And I'm just like, what are they doing after this? That's kind of where this left me. Like, what? Incredible. Shout out to them. Kudos. What a game. What a game. Third game finished this year. Super, super happy about that one. Now we're going to get into a bunch of games that I'm not going to get into sort of review-ish about because I haven't finished them yet. But I'll give my light, high-level thoughts on what I've played so far about each of them. Next game is Baldur's Gate 3. Jess, Gabe, hi. I am begging you. I am begging you from the bottom of my soul. Can we beat this game this year? Can we please? Oh, please, for the love of all that is good, can we beat this game this year? Anyways, I love y'all. But seriously, I know I speak for Alyssa. Alyssa doesn't even think we've beaten it this year, so I'm almost on the same boat as her. But please, for the love of all that is good, let's beat this game. So if you haven't realized yet, I'm currently playing Baldur's Gate 3 with a group of friends. And if you've heard anybody over the age of 30 and their experience trying to play Baldur's Gate with a group of friends, it's difficult. Motherfuckers have lives, you know what I mean? Responsibilities, things to do, other games to play, other interests, you know? And so when I wrote this, it was, we're about 20 hours into a 100-plus journey. We're way more further along than that. My personal solo playthrough, I'm about 20 hours in. In our group playthrough. We're on Act 3, which people have said is the longest act, so who knows how long we have left. But we have done so much in that game. We've done most of the like main companion missions and storylines. And it's kind of just getting into every nook and cranny of the world. And I will say, for as much of a struggle as it has been to get through this game with a group of friends, and as much shit as I'll give Jess and Gabe until we actually finish it, and probably even after that too, I am having so much fun playing this game with them. Like, I think, if I'm being honest, I think I am so upset that we're not finishing the game or playing the game, because I enjoy playing it so much with them. Like, we just have such a great time. motherfuckers get into character, not like doing voices or anything like that, but like get into character for the game, like just getting into it. Like, oh, all right, we can play Baldur's Gate, and it's almost like putting your Baldur's Gate on. Let me put my hat forward, you know, like let me get serious. And it's just been a good time, and so looking forward to continuing the story with them. I think I want to finish my solo playthrough to see how I feel about it. In totality, without playing with other people, but I really do think that this game is going to end up in my top 10 of all time. It's just so good. The choice and consequence is just absurd. So deep and intricate. The battle system is incredible. Like, incredible. When I was playing by myself before we started the group playthrough, and I realized that you could ungroup your team of four and send people to different places. Or like if you were going to attack a house or a building or a group, you could ungroup and attack it from different angles. I can have somebody come into the town from the ladder. I can have somebody walk in from the front and kind of just tackle these situations in whatever fucking fashion you want to. You can, instead of fighting people, try to talk them out of it. Instead of fighting them, maybe you want to be a little secretive and just poison everybody. This game is so deep. It really, really is. And I don't think that... I think, cool, my solo playthrough is one. My group playthrough is another. But I don't even think that those will be my last playthroughs. And so, yeah. Really looking forward to hopefully beating this game in 2026. Shout out to Baldur's Gate 3. What a game. What a game. Next game is Knights of the Old Republic. I'm having such a good time with this one. I haven't played it in a few weeks, but oof, boy, this one is good. This one is so good. People say this is one of the best Star Wars stories ever. We're getting there. I'm feeling it. Currently playing it on iOS, which I think is like the version that's on the Switch now and stuff. It works. I use my backbone on it. The touch controllers are horrific. I don't recommend that to anybody. And the combat has been okay. I think the combat is pretty clunky, but I feel like it's to be expected from a game that's made in like the early 2000s. But again, this is one of those like greatest games of all time that everybody keeps talking about. And I know they're like remaking this game, and there's a new title in the franchise that just got teased at the Game Awards last year. And so there's a lot happening in this world, and I really want to finish KOTOR by the end of this year so I can have that under my belt. Next game is Final Fantasy VI. I have never played this game. I played about 10 minutes of this game I think it was after I beat Metroid Prime, and I was like, all right, cool. Let me see what game I'm going to play on my Switch next. And I popped my Pixel collection in, and I was like, yo, maybe I'll start Final Fantasy VI. I played about 10 minutes of it, so I don't have too much to say about it. But shout out to the homie Ed. My boy Ed has been dying for me to play this game. He is like, yo, dude, I need you to play Final Fantasy VI so you can give me, you know, you can give me your opinion on where it stands as a Final Fantasy game. And as a Final Fantasy guy myself, I actually feel a kind of way that I don't have this game under my belt. Like, how don't I have Final Fantasy VI under my belt? This is, in Ed's opinion and a lot of people's opinion, this is the greatest Final Fantasy game. And so definitely going to get to that one after I finish Cyberpunk Liberty City DLC, because Oh, actually, I'm also playing another game, which I'm about to say next. But after I finish Cyberpunk DLC and this next game, probably going to get to Final Fantasy VI. And yeah, we're going to beat that, man. We're going to see where that stands on the scale. Because I'm a Final Fantasy VII guy, right? So I just missed the boat on this. Final Fantasy VII is my first Final Fantasy. I think we had six like in my house. I didn't play it. I was even too young for seven when my brother bought seven. So imagine for Final Fantasy VI. But just to list the games I haven't beaten in Final Fantasy, 1 through 6 I have not beaten. So eventually we're gonna get through the Pixel Collection. We're gonna start with 6, 4, and then we'll figure out which ones after that we do between 1, 2, 3, and 5. I have not finished 8, 9, 12, and 16. Oh, brother. It's not even a Final Fantasy game, but whatever. Eventually, I kind of want to get back to it. Like, I kind of want to give it a chance. I kind of want to give Final Fantasy 16 a chance, but really. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see where it stands as the GOAT Final Fantasy game. The next game that I just started on Friday on stream, if you're interested in watching me play this, I'll be streaming it on Friday nights until I beat it. Metal Gear Solid 2. Another one of those games that people say is their favorite game, the greatest game of all time. And I beat Metal Gear Solid 1 back in 2023, and that was an experience. I had Metal Gear Solid in my house, but again, I was like 9 when my brother got Metal Gear Solid. And so just way above my head, like not the kind of game that I was into. And so I just never played it. And I am the kind of person that if I didn't play the first game, especially if they're all connected, if I didn't play the first game, I am not playing 2, 3, 4, whatever comes after. I need to experience those games in order, especially if there's a connected story. And so beat Metal Gear Solid back in 23, and starting Metal Gear Solid 2 now. And I will say, I'm actually having a good time. I'm not going to hold you. I'm not going to hold you. Not to say that I didn't think I was. I'm not a very... what's the word I'm looking for when people are sneaking around in video games? Yeah, I'm not into those kind of games. I'm not into these, like, espionage, hiding in the corners, like, oh, I can't let nobody see me. The game type is really escaping me right now. This is so sad. But yeah, I'm just kind of not into games like that. And so when I played the first Metal Gear Solid, I was wondering if I really was going to like it. And I did. I actually did enjoy it. And I think it was mostly because that story was just so good. But the gameplay in 2 is, I think, clearly more refined. It's not as clunky or as janky as Metal Gear Solid was. That's obvious. It came out on the PS2. And I think the one thing I can say about this from the first 2 hours I played of the game is, yo, this game has been all cutscenes. I think I played for almost 2 hours, and it was like an hour of cutscenes. Like half of what I played was cutscenes. And that's so interesting. Because if I'm not mistaken, people have told me that before. So yeah, we'll see. And yeah, like I said, if you're interested in watching me play, Fridays, at whatever time I end up getting on Fridays, but Fridays is the day I'm dedicating to Metal Gear Solid 2. And it's only about 12 to 15 hours long. I really do think it'll take me give or take a month to beat it. So it should be fun. Pull up. Next game is Ghost of Yote. I'm having a fucking blast with Ghost of Yote. And I'm also just looking at the time now. We're 40 minutes in. We're definitely not finishing this episode in 45 minutes. Ghost of Yote. Better than Ghost of Tsushima. That's it. I'm on that boat. I'm on that. That's the side I'm on now. It is definitively better than Ghost of Tsushima. I think my PlayStation percentage said that I'm about 70% through the game, but this is a slow burn for me. I am in no rush to beat this game. This game is kind of like my babysitting my daughter in the living room game. Like if I'm in the living room with my daughter and I'm just chilling and she's in the corner playing with her toys and stuff, I'm just going to put Ghost of Yote on and I'm going to play while she hangs out. We hang out. And I've been chipping away. I'm trying to level up all the weapons. I'm trying to free all the towns. I'm trying to do all that stuff in this game. I really wanted to do that in Tsushima, but I was so into the story and I really wanted to beat it that I kind of just went through the story. And I actually regret that because I never went back to the game. But I'm not making that mistake with Yotei. I am taking my sweet motherfucking time with this game and I'm enjoying every minute of it. It is so far a 9 out of 10. Easy. Depending on how the story ends, I might give it a 10, really. And my daughter loves the theme of this game. Like everything, because when I pause my PlayStation, because I don't want my gameplay time to be incorrect or be like vastly swayed by me pausing the game and walking away, I like to just go to the PlayStation menu to just get out of the game completely. But then it'll start playing the song or the theme song of the icon you're on. And so that the theme is constantly playing. And like I said, I always play this game with my daughter. And so she's grown to really enjoy the song. And when I put the song on, she starts to like, let's go side to side. Then she looks at me and she's like, oh, this is a banger. This is a banger. And you know what? It is a banger. It really is a banger. So yeah, Ghost of Yotei, slow burn. I'm taking my time with it, but I will beat it this year. That's for sure. Gonna get off the list this year. Fire Emblem Three Houses. I put in my notes that this has been a slow burn since 2021. It hasn't been a slow burn as much as it's been I am just playing it whenever I get the vibe to play this kind of game. I've not played many games like this. These like tile turn-based RPGs. It reminds me a lot of what's that game? I can't see the case name, but it's like that army game. Oh no, this is gonna kill me. Give me a second. Advanced Wars. That's the game. Advanced Wars. How can I forget? It reminds me a lot of Advanced Wars, and I was a huge Advanced Wars kid when I was younger. And so it just reminds me of that turn-based vibe. And I hear that the story is really, really good. And it has been really good so far. I will give it that. But it's just not been enough to like ring me in and keep me tight for more than 2 or 3 hours. I'll maybe get through a couple of weeks of the dates, do a couple battles, do like 1, 2, maybe 3 battles, and then I feel like I gotta put the game down and go play something else. And so I don't know when I'm gonna pick up Fire Emblem Three Houses again. I think I'm close to halfway through the game, and so I'm hoping I can get this off my list by the end of the year, because I want to move on to another kind of game like this. Like Final Fantasy Tactics just got remastered and came out last year. Triangle Strategy is a game that I bought last year, and I really want to play because if I'm not mistaken, these are I don't know if it's the same team, but it just reminds me so much of Octopath Traveler, and I love that art style that it's been made in. And so I kind of want to get to those. But I don't want to get to them without finishing Three Houses, especially because I started Three Houses like several years ago at this point, 5 years ago. And the last game, last but not least, is Split Fiction, which is that co-op game from Hazelight Studios. I started this game with my cousin last year on PlayStation. And because I refused to pay for PlayStation Plus, we never actually got to finish this game. And I'm just being honest, I'm not paying for PlayStation Plus to beat this game. So I was like, oh man, I don't know when we're going to beat this game. I was like, oh, I think I'm going to eventually subscribe to like the year of extra, you know, I'll let you know when. This is what I was telling my cousin. And then at some point I was like, I don't know if I'm going to do that. And then I eventually learned that this game is cross-platform, but you also, it's cross-platform. So, all right. So Hazelight does this thing where if one person owns the game, the other person doesn't need to buy it. The other person just needs like the free pass version of the game. And that one purchase will be good for both of them. Awesome. I thought that that only worked if you had, if you were doing that on the same console. So I had the physical disc and my cousin was using the free version. And then when I found out that that actually works cross-platform, I was like, brother, take this shit home with you and I will download the free version on Steam. I'm not paying for PlayStation Plus. It's not happening. To play online? Y'all are bugging. Absolutely not. And by y'all, I mean PlayStation. And so that's currently where I'm at with this game. And me and my cousin will get to this when we get to this. I hope sooner than later, because I was actually having a good time with this. The gameplay mechanics in these games that Hazelight be making are just so intuitive. Like, so, so intuitive. And yeah, this is like a video game as video game. And I want to get through it. I want to see how good the story is. And, you know, coming from having played It Takes Two and that kind of being like more art style driven, and this being more graphically intensive. And again, I'm not getting into high fidelity graphics. I don't condone that shit. But it just looking significantly better in this world being beautiful, especially the themes that they go with, where one chick is into sci-fi and the other one is into like fantasy and old age sort of stories, going back and forth between those. They really have leveled up. They really added some elements with these like mini levels within the levels that I feel like is an advancement from It Takes Two. Great job. They're doing a bang up job with this game. Can't wait to get back to it. Kind of sucks that we're gonna have to restart it, I think, with redoing, like me playing on Steam and him having the disc now. But I don't give a fuck. I'm willing to play those, I think, first 2 hours that we've already played all over again and see where it goes from there. And yeah, that's my list of top 10 games. Sorry, it wasn't on here, but I'm currently playing it. Cyberpunk Phantom Liberty DLC. I'm about 3-4 hours into the DLC. Yo, let me tell y'all something, man. Let me tell y'all something. This is for my boy Dana, man, who just won't play this game, who won't play Cyberpunk because he's so scorned by how they did us dirty at the launch. You know what? I don't blame him. I just want him to experience the greatness that this game is, has always been, but definitely, certainly is now. Cyberpunk is in my top 10 games of all time. I think it's number 6 or 7, if I'm not mistaken. This Phantom Liberty DLC takes Cyberpunk and ratchets it up. Like, everything you enjoy about Cyberpunk is just a little more extreme in the DLC. The set piece for starting out this DLC was really, really something. I'm currently at the point where I'm just meeting up with Idris Elba's character. And so I know I got a ways to go, but so far, so far, so good. So far, so good. Fuck this game, bro. Like, this is my second character. I started in second character so that I can get to the DLC and play it with a fresh character. I am 100% doing a third character. Because I did Street Kid the first playthrough. I'm doing the Corpo now. And I'm going to do the Nomad as my third playthrough eventually. But definitely going to get through the DLC this year. 100%. That's actually the game I'm currently playing on my commutes. On my Steam Deck. And so, yeah, so I'm hopefully going to beat that in the next couple of weeks, because 6 hours a week, baby, 24 hours a month, I should beat this DLC within a month, right? That's quick maths. 2 plus 2, that's 4, that's quick math. Honorable mentions. I'm not going to get into these too much. Hogwarts Legacy. I'm like 2/3 of the way through this game. I really need to get this game out of my backlog. I really, really do. I'm tired of seeing it in my list of PS5 games. I just need to finish it. It's good. It's fun. But it's one of those games that has just not kept my attention for long enough for me to care. Skyrim. All right. Oh, I've played this game several times over. Like, I think this is my fourth time playing Skyrim, like all over again with a new character, I have never rolled credits in this game. I probably have a collective close to 200 hours of playing Skyrim. I have never rolled credits on the game. But that said, in my current playthrough, I am two chapters away from rolling credits. Yeah, boy, we're going to roll credits on this one. We are. Death Stranding. Woo! This one's just good. I've had a good time with it. The story is interesting. It's everything I didn't think this game was, and it's nothing like I actually thought it was going to be. And now that Death Stranding 2 is out and the PC version is actually already out, I definitely want to get through this game and get it off my backlog. It's not in the top 10, so I'm not sure it'll happen this year, but I think it's a game that I'm going to put significant time into during the year. Pokemon Scarlet Indigo Disc DLC. This is the second part of the DLC for Pokemon Scarlet Violet. I just want to beat this DLC. Kind of just want to get the DLC off my lap, off my plate. And I'm just waiting to get that Pokemon itch again to play the game. I've played so many Pokemon games recently. Like, I'm playing Soul Silver now. I just realized Soul Silver is not on this list. And I just beat the 8th gym. And so I'm almost done. And I'm almost going to roll credits on that game, actually. But I played that. I played Legend ZA. I beat the first part of the DLC, like, right at the end of last year. And so I'm kind of all Pokemon'd out. And so I feel like maybe sometime during the summer or when I go on a trip or a vacation, I'll start chipping away at this DLC again. And then last, but certainly not least of the honorable mentions, Kingdom Hearts Re-Chain of Memories. I just want to continue getting through this Kingdom Hearts catalog. I've played 1 and 2 and 3. But I haven't played any of these in-between games, Birth by Sleep, 256 and a half, or whatever the hell that title is. I'm currently on Rechain of Memories, which is the game after 1. And now I will say, if you're like me and you played Kingdom Hearts 1, and then the next Kingdom Hearts game you played was 2, and you were like, what the fuck is going on? I cannot express the feeling I had when I started Rechain of Memories, and I was like, oh, this is what happened after 1. Oh, wow. That is currently my feeling playing Rechain of Memories. And it's also weird that it's kind of this like card game, action game. But I'm enjoying it. I enjoyed it. I was enjoying it while I played it, but I put this one away and I haven't gone back to it at all. Hopefully I can find time to get to it this year because I really want to get that one out of the way. I think Birth by Sleep is next in the list. I just know that the next one is one of the really good ones, and I believe it's Birth by Sleep. And yeah, and so, of course, the games are in the backlog because good games keep coming out, and so I keep having to put games back in the backlog. The games I'm looking forward to this year that I think are going to take me out of my backlog, and I'm not going to be able to finish this list I just walked y'all through, is Fable, Pragmatica, GTA 6, if it doesn't get delayed, something Nintendo hasn't even announced yet, or actually when I wrote that, they hadn't announced Pokemon Wind and Waves yet, and so probably Pokemon Wind and Waves, if I'm being honest, and Soros, which is not a sequel, not a direct sequel, but it's the next game from Housemarque, follow-up to Returnal. Really looking forward to that. And that game is definitely going to pull me away from everything being played. Wolverine's not on here, but it's not on here because my Wolverine hot take is that game's going to be ass. I'm actually super surprised that the game is even coming out this year. But I actually just got into the conversation about this with one of my boys a few days ago because he brought it up. And I was like, dog, Wolverine's going to be ass. I was like, I'm not looking forward to that game at all. Nothing about the marketing for that game has me excited. I mean, I want y'all to think about this. They just announced the release date for the game in a tweet that had no trailer attached to it. Are you serious? Are you dead ass? you got a game that you've been working on for like 5 years. You announce the release date, which is 6 months from now, and you didn't even attach a trailer to it. I don't know about y'all, but that does not scream confidence. And that is in addition to, I think it was during a state of play that they like kind of walked us through the game, and some developers got to talk. They barely showed anything in that trailer. They talked for like 3 minutes before they even showed anything. I remember sitting there watching, and I was like, are y'all going to show the game? Like, are you going to show anything from the game? And they did. And it, in my opinion, wasn't really anything impressive. I think for people who played like the original Wolverine game on the PS2, they're like, oh, wow, you know, this reminds me of that. And, you know, the nostalgia's kicking in. But I'm just like, nostalgia aside, this looks ass. Like, this doesn't look good at all. It looks good. Like, it looks visually good. But I don't, that shit don't look like I'm going to have a blast playing it. And I don't get me wrong, I love Insomniac. I love most of their games. Spider-Man 1 and 2 were good, but 2 was definitely a step back. And I'm assuming this game is being built on the backbone and on the framework of a Spider-Man and Spider-Man 2. I'm just not sure what to expect from this. That's my Wolverine hot take. I think that game's going to be ass. We'll see what happens. And yeah. Guys, that's the backlog episode. That's Backlog Chronicles Part 1. I'm looking forward to revisiting this in a few months, probably around June. See where I'm at with the backlog. See what games from maybe the honorable mentions get moved up, and where I'm at in potentially finishing all 10 of these games in 2026. Between you and me, it's not happening. It's not happening. But if you aim high, you're gonna hit somewhere in between. You know what I mean? You aim high, you're going to hit a little lower than that. And so we're going to aim for 10. Can we finish 7 of them? You know what I mean? Can we finish 7 of them and get even more, get through the other 3 in a significant manner that maybe at the top of 2027, they're the first games I beat in 2027. We shall see. But yeah, let me see. Any closing remarks? No closing remarks, y'all. We got 57 minutes. We're about to close this baby out in under an hour. Huh. Who would have fucking thought? Be on the lookout for the next episode of We Talking About Games. There are some things happening around the industry that I want to talk about. I know I didn't make an episode or really get into depth about what's happening with Xbox. Not sure if maybe that I'll dive into that. There's some stuff happening with PlayStation. Nintendo's just cruising right now. DLSS 5. What fucking garbage. There's things to talk about, but I definitely want to bring somebody else on. And so this week, gonna do a little outreach. Gonna hop in the DMs, you know, and see who wants to join me for another episode. Talk shit. And on that note, last but not least, subscribe to YouTube and follow me on social media, because again, your boy is making short form videos with those takes in between episodes. March was crazy. March was one of the craziest months of my life, which is why it also took forever to get to this next episode. But be on the lookout for that and stay tuned. Stay tuned for the short form videos. Stay tuned for the next episode, and stay in touch, man, so we can talk about games. Real talk. Yeah, that's all I got for y'all. On that note, I hope y'all have a wonderful day, afternoon, evening, weekday, weekend, wherever, and whenever you might be listening to this or watching it. And until next time, deuces!